Welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Download. My name is Cardinal Mason. How you doing? This is Chase Diamond over here. You guys know this guy?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I just learned that Chase has never been to a barber before. He just told me that he's like, you've never been inside of a barber?
No, going to a barber for the first time today if this guy will honor my appointment time instead of changing it.
I don't like barbers.
Really? Like, I've never been.
I've had very few good experiences with barbers. There's one dude. Shout out Kevin in Miami Shaving District. Gangster. He's the best. Everyone else, when I get haircuts in Miami at this other place called The Spot, nobody speaks English. And so I'm trying to literally Google translate what I want, show them pictures of me. And they're like, Dale, or whatever. And then I literally left a 2-star review at this barbershop. I never leave reviews. That's how bad it was at this barbershop in Niagara Falls. And the last time I got a haircut was this kid who was 17 years old. I didn't realize he looked older, but he talked like an idiot. So he was 17 years old and he was wearing a fake Rolex and I was wearing a real one. And so I was like, oh dude, nice Rolex. He's like, oh, it's fake. And I was like, oh, he's like, oh, is that fake too? I'm like, no, this is fucking real. Anyway. Oh, so dude, I might be on your wave. I might just come fly to California so I can get a haircut from you, bro.
Yeah, my brother normally comes to my house and does it, but he's just not very reliable. My brother Cole, shout out, not very reliable. I try texting him 4 or 5 times in a row to come give me a haircut, and he just comes to my house, but takes him a week or two to actually show up. So I'm like, I need a haircut before the Sendlane event I'm speaking at next week. So I'm actually going to leave the house and go somewhere today, hopefully.
I mean, it's a free haircut, Or does he charge you?
He doesn't charge me, but I pay him. I pay him 40, 50 bucks. I just spend on him.
That's good. All right, dude. Let's get into this. Let's get into these topics here. First one I got is called Let's Go Golfing. I don't know if anyone knows who DJ, who DJ Khaled is?
Yeah. And I've seen that he's gotten really into golf. I don't know too much, but I've seen that he's really into golf.
Yeah. So he has two golf bags. One with the clubs. The one with certain clubs is called Let's Go Golfing. And the other one with other clubs is called Let's Golf. It's the one where he's taking it seriously. But dude, I mean, I saw that you got your first eagle last couple of days, and then you got a birdie. What I'm curious about is because that's sort of your outlet. I want to do one that's sort of non-businessy. So I do want to talk about why you love golf so much and what it means for you and maybe some, I don't know if there's any cool stories about golf.
Dude, I went to Bend, Oregon this past weekend with my dad and my brothers to visit my grandparents, and it was a blast. We got to golf 2 days in a row, which is very rare for me now that I have kids, and it was amazing. Weather was perfect, tons of trees. The first course we played was decent. The second course we played was amazing. My brothers were over the moon, and it was the coolest thing. And I had an eagle, and it was it wasn't an easy eagle. It was a par 5, almost 600 yards. Nailed two shots and then chipped it into the hole, and we are going wild on the course. That was sick. And then the next day at the course that was really amazing, their longest par 5 I think was right around 600 as well. I missed a par basically chip, or sorry, I missed an eagle chip, ended up putting it in for birdie, and then I had a couple other eagle looks that I just screwed up. But it was fun. So long-winded. I just love the challenge. Golf is not an easy thing. I consider myself fairly athletic, and golf is not easy. So I love the challenge. You never know what you're going to get. You have to just really mentally be prepared. I think that's the first thing that goes. It's not physically exhausting. It just drains you mentally. So I think being able to play 18 is just a mental test, being able to stay with it, being able to stay focused. And then I just love spending time with the boys. I golf with my brothers, my dad, my grandpa, my friends. Shaq just started golfing. So it's such a great way to spend.
Shaq golfing?
He just started golfing. So it's a great way to spend 4 or 5 hours with the people that you love, uninterrupted, outdoors, just doing things. And everyone has good shots. Everyone has bad shots, but everyone has a few great shots. And that's pretty much all you remember. So it's just such a great, fun experience that's mentally challenging, but also it's a hard game.
Interesting, bro. So what did you shoot on those two games?
The first day we played 9, I don't remember what the par was. I can't remember if the front, because basically the par of most courses is 72. Sometimes it's 35 and then 37, sometimes it's 36, 36. I think on the round that I had the eagle, I was like 7 or 8 over. So I was like 7 or 8 over par. So good. I was averaging kind of around par. You know, I had the eagle, which helped. So I was around par. And then the second day we played 18, we tracked the first 9. So I shot a 45 on the front 9, and on the back 9 we played teams. So we were pretty much par on the back. So it was fun.
Dude, that's a good game.
Yeah, it was great. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever swung a club? Have you ever gone to the driving range?
I've been to the driving range. It was like 9 years ago that I went with my dad. I've been thinking about it. So, and I've been talking about it too, but I've just never like had the drive to like get up and go and just play golf. Like there's a Topgolf in Miami that I might go to.
That's sick.
I need more stuff to do. Like I need more stuff. Like I need more hobbies. But like, dude, tennis is awesome. Like Griff and I have been playing so much, and it's sad because I'm going back to Miami tomorrow and I'm going to miss him. So like, we play tennis legit like 4 or 5 times a week. And like, we just book it. Yesterday we played twice. So like we were playing in the afternoon, and then he was like, oh, like I got to go home. I got to write this email for this guy. And I was like, all right, let's just come back later. And then we came back at like 7:30, and it was like dry for like 10 minutes, and it started raining. And so like everyone else packed up and left, and we were like, dude, like we can play in the rain. And so we played tennis in the rain for like, it's all dirty. And then the ground got way too wet. And so we were like slipping around, and the ball was getting heavy. And so like, it wouldn't even bounce anymore, but it was a great time, man. Like I love it so much. It's just like the most fun game. You probably feel this way about golf, where it's like any sport I'm never like excited to play. Like I'll play basketball or I'll play soccer or something like that. But like whenever someone's like, you want to go play tennis? I'm like, yes. Like, oh my God. Like, it's so exciting.
Dude, it's so cool. Yeah. I think it's like good too, to have hobbies of different lengths of time. I think like with pickleball and tennis, you know, you typically play for like maybe an hour or two. And it's great when you're like strapped for time and you want to get like a good workout that's really competitive and fun. And I think like golf is nice, but you also have to allocate a bunch of time. And there's a lot of stuff that goes up to it. Like you could probably go out and pick up a tennis racket, you know, practice a couple times and be decent. With golf, it's like, it's a lot of work and you need to take lessons and you need to go to the range and you need to be really consistent. Obviously tennis, right? The more you play, the better that you'll be. But I feel like if you're naturally athletic, you can pick it up fairly quickly. Pickleball is really fun if you've never played, and so is racquetball. It's like tennis, but in my opinion, way more fun and way more aggressive and heightened.
Interesting. All right, cool. All right, next topic. The ethics of selling courses. So dude, like this is something that like people have been talking about this on the internet for all the time. It's like, oh, this guy's a course seller, da da da. You and I both have courses, and we both make a decent chunk of our money from courses. Part of mine is coaching as well, where it's like, it's not just a course. Like I'm literally in there helping you. Like I'm with you, but there's a lot of like course haters. And I want to make the case for it. And I want to know what you think about this too, where it's like, if you think about what we sell, where it's like, we're giving you information that is going to get you X result.
Yeah.
And then some of our econ friends, where it's like, they sell a lamp for their desk or something like that. Like, I think people get mad at like the idea of selling for or charging for information because they think it should be free. But like, in terms of the value that you're getting out of what we teach, like, I think that we probably have way more on these e-com guys or anybody else, like even SaaS guys, like it's stuff that like makes your life easier.
Yeah.
But like, dude, like do you think there's anything, any merit to the claims of people saying like selling courses is a bad thing?
No, I don't anymore. Before my first course back in 2020, I was really kind of back and forth on like, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? You know, what are the pros and cons? And dude, I was so close to not doing it, and I'm so glad I did it. Not just for my selfish game, but the number of messages, whether it be DMs, texts, emails, people just reaching out online and saying thank you. Like the fact that some of my courses like changed their life. Again, I don't know if they're exaggerating. I believe it for some people, but people, whether it's freelancers or agencies or business owners, have legitimately said to me, and I also know this is true for you, that the content that we've put out, you know, obviously the free stuff's been great, but the paid stuff in particular has changed their lives, right? And I think the stuff that we're putting out too, I feel good about. The quality is good. It's the stuff that we are doing day to day and the stuff that is actually working. And we price it very affordably. You know, my flagship course is $750. Your main course is, you know, right around the same price, right? it's not like we are charging $10,000 for this information. You know, people could be mad at college. Like, you know, I spent way too much money at college and I learned probably a fraction of what I could have or should have for that price. So I don't know. I personally don't feel bad about it. I think it's a great thing. If the people that are teaching it are good people that have good intentions and creating good content. So I think there are a lot of bad actors, but I think the good actors did it. I think it's fair game and I think it's a great thing.
100%, dude. I wanted to pull this up real quick. This is going to blow your mind. There's a guy that DM'd me. I don't know if you saw this tweet, but I tweeted it over the weekend. This guy DM'd me back in May. He was like, hey, I went to one of your free classes, got a $400 a month client. I'm not at the point where I can afford copy MBA yet, whatever. And then he was like, he updated me again. He was like, oh, another client, whatever. And then Friday, he hits me and he goes, never mind, I don't need you anymore. I'm about to hit 15 grand this month. So that was May. And then so in June, July, August, September, 4 months, got to 15 grand a month. And I was like, from the free class? And he's like, yeah, this is from my business. My brother's 18 years old and I'm 14. We have 10 clients we're in the process of signing. And I was like, what? This kid's 14 years old. And he like figured something out. I guess his brother's like the face of it, because like if he gets on the phone and he's 14,
yeah.
We're gonna be like, wait, what? Like, so I guess his brother is a guy selling, and so he gives him a cut. But dude, absolutely insane. Like from a free class, kid's 14 years old. And I know that he's the mastermind behind it. His brother's kind of just like tagging along, which is weird because he's 14, his brother's 18. But anyway, like, dude. Sometimes I'll feel like a little bit like, I don't know, if I get a lot of hate on TikTok or something like that, I'm like, ooh, it doesn't feel good. Like, I'm a person, yeah. You know what I mean? People think I'm not a real guy. But then you see stuff like that, it's like, nah, it's all worth it, bro. So there's guys like that. There's like a bunch of people in the inner circle making like insane money right now.
So cool. Yeah, dude, I think for me, like, again, like, I've definitely gotten some slack over the years from it. I don't think quite as much as you. I think your stuff's a lot more on channels that go viral. Like, I've never had like a million people looking at something about my course, right? So I think you just open yourself up to more people throwing shade. And it's not a good feeling, right? And I've had it too. And it really forces you to build thick skin. But I think like where I'm going with this is like, when you think about like your why, like for me, like my why is to really make the world a better place than when I got there, right? And for me, I learned email marketing through a course, right? And I wanted to build a course that was like the one that I took, but more fresh and current and upgraded. And I want to say better, because the course was good and great. And I respect the guy that I took it from, but I wanted to create the best email marketing course. And in order for me to do that, you know, I obviously had to charge for it. So I think like if the why is something, you know, greater, and kind of like the what is the fact that it's a paid course, I think those two like equal out. So that's insane about the 14-year-old and 18-year-old. I wish at 14 years old or 18 years old, I was doing that. That would be insane.
Same, dude. Yeah. I always tell people, like, dude, if you're under 18, like, maybe don't do this, because people might not take you seriously. But he's obviously just, there's some people where it's like, I say that to protect myself, but I know that anybody who's like 16 or 17 and they want to do this, they're really about it. They're just not going to listen to me and do it anyways. Yeah. And then I'll help them 100%. But yeah, interesting. So I think we resolved that. I think that in terms of the value that we provide, we bring way more value than desk lamp people,
yeah.
E-commerce people. All right, last topic, principles to follow when scaling hard. So I was kind of just sitting there, and actually when I was coming up with topics, I was just scrolling Twitter and I saw Adam Robinson. And like anytime I see an Adam tweet, I'm always just like, it gets me thinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to, so I'll give you a couple first, and then you can maybe like, while I'm like, I don't know, whatever you got after this, just let me know.
Cool.
But principles for like going really hard with business. Like if you actually have something where you have like a vehicle to go really big, there's a couple of things that I remember. So one thing that Adam said was like, anything that you're doing, figure out how you can do it three times faster. And I believe that, what's his guy's name again? The former president of Zoom Info,
Santosh.
Santosh. I think Santosh told him that. And then he put it in one of his work from, work in progress or work in public things. And so I always remember that, where it's like, dude, that's something I'm guilty of all the time, where it's just like, sometimes I can be a little bit slow And I think like when you're in the Olympics that like they are, it's really important to just like act with as much speed as possible. Another thing I think is from Cole Emo Wizard, Daniel Fazio, shout out. Like you should always be maxing out every single channel all the time, like 100% for every channel. And I was thinking about this, it's like, dude, like sometimes we'll have a really good week with like a YouTube video will go and then we'll book a bunch of calls and then I'll be like, maybe I don't have to like tweet to like book calls, even though I probably should. And I'm going to do that today, like as soon as this episode is done. Or like maybe Twitter books a bunch of calls and I'm like, well, we're not going to send an email just because like, but like, dude, more volume is always better. Like you get, like you just have more to pick from. You get more high quality people. Like it's just, it's always good. And so I think like for anybody, like let's say someone listening has an agency or something like that, like you should have cold email scripts. You should have your socials going. You should have maybe even ads running, low budget, retargeting the people that you're blasting out emails to and doing like a free lead magnet or something like that, getting name, email, number. Like there's so many things you can do like to grow a business. And like, I think people forget that like, that's like the name of the game is like, you should be doing every single thing in your power. So I think about those a lot. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, I think related to those two, like I think one is like the power of momentum and how momentum over time compounds. So I think like while you have like the wind at your back, like double down, triple down, like don't stop. As soon as you get comfortable and you settle and you're not kind of pushing the pedal to the metal, I think that's when you start to face problems. And I don't think you see those problems until later down the road, right? So I think like it's always gas to the pedal, full speed ahead, right? And things are going to break, but being able to fix them as they break is great. I think most people have the problem that they think they have to have everything figured out ahead of time. And they think they have to have solved for every single edge case and use case before they scale. Where in hindsight, it's like, dude, you're not going to know the problems that you have until you're actually at scale and things are going to break. Just don't let them break again. Like, patch them up and then move on. So I think like the power of momentum and compounding. And then to the other point that you made, like right now, I think on every single channel, whether it be TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, there's like limited opportunities to just take advantage of the algorithm, right? On LinkedIn, you know, the algorithm has been insane. And I'm especially noticing that right now with like newer pages and newer profiles, like they seem to have recently in this update, you know, leveled the playing field. So I'm creating as many pages and accounts as possible. I have my wife's profile now. I'm like, yo, we need to start posting content from your stuff. You tell me stuff you want to write about, things that you remember from school, things that you remember from work. I'm going to come up with stuff. We're going to share my stuff and we're just going to have more accounts and we're just going to create this like giant network of people and pages. So I think like the next 6 to 12 months on LinkedIn is like where the juice is going to be. And I'm just trying to squeeze as much of it as possible. I'm telling my brothers, yo, you guys got to start posting. I'll boost the heck out of you guys. Like, let's just go. Shaq's doing it. So I think every single channel has like kind of a limited shelf life where if you don't exploit it in that period of time, you're just going to miss it. Dude, when you think about when you grew on TikTok, I think if you had waited 6 or 12 months later, you would have missed the boat. I really think you would have missed the boat. I think the content you did was great. Your strategy was great. And your timing was great. And I think because of those three things, you did as well as you have. Had you only had two of those, you probably would have done well, not as well. Had you only had one of those, you probably would have done okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I think that's super true. Like, yeah, especially the momentum thing. Like, dude, all that banger. Good stuff. I agree with the TikTok thing, bro. Like, I also think it's just for like divine timing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, same with you on LinkedIn. Like, you've kind of been doing LinkedIn for a while, but like, it's just recently started picking up and then it turned into a beautiful business that you're running now. And it's helping a lot of people and you're, you know, sending money to Ukraine. Like it's awesome, bro. But yeah, dude, I think that's awesome. I think it's a good place to leave it with people. Anything else you want to mention?
No, other than go take some lessons for golf right after this.
I was going to say, are you going to drop a course on that soon?
No. I've got a long way to go. I need to be more consistent. I want to play more and get better. I've got breakout rounds and then rounds where I'm like, oh man, what am I doing with my life?
Good stuff, man. Thanks everybody for hanging out. This is a good one. I'll see you on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Cardinal Mason. And then on Instagram at Cardinal Mace. Hit up my friend over here, Chase Diamond, at Ecom Chase Diamond, no A.
Right, cheers, brother. Appreciate you.
Bye.